Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
In this special audio cast, we find out what a king really does. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a very appetizing discussion with Ennie Hickman of Del Rey Collective. Now, Ennie is not a king, clearly, but he started up something called the Del Rey Collective. After making some changes in his life, he was formerly head and founder of something called Adore Ministries, and then all heaven breaks loose, so to speak, and he changes it all up, makes a decision, and he basically now heads up something called Del Rey Cooperative. And Del Rey means of the king, or from the king, actually. And so that's why I wanted to talk about what does a king do? Because Ennie, in a way, reminds me of what a king does. So here's a little appetizer for you before we enter into our deep dish discussion. A king has a kingdom. And by the way, the word rey in Spanish and rey in Latin, it means king. And a king is only a king if he has a kingdom, right? And so this kingdom is something to be shared. And that's why I want to talk about what it means to be a king. Because in a way, we're all kings of our own castles, correct? I mean, even if you live in a dumpy place, you're the king of it. And what are you supposed to do in there? Well, you're supposed to love one another. You're supposed to be a neighbor to others. And that's a big part of it all. In other words, a king always reaches out to people and in a way stretches himself, or if you're a queen, you stretch herself out to help those in need. And so we hope that you enjoy this very deep dish discussion with Ennie Hickman of Del Rey Cooperative, which is brought to you by Soul Core, which is a type of a movement that pairs core strengthening, stretching, functional movement with the prayers of the rosary. Let's put it this way. If you can exercise your body, why not exercise your soul at the same time? This is not related to the disciplines of yoga or Sanskrit or any other type of mystical disciplinary exercise, but it's just as effective, and you get the exact same benefit of healthy exercise, but also strengthen your soul as well. You can learn more at soulcore.com. And thanks them for their support, and hope that you enjoy this special deep dish discussion with Ennie Hickman of Del Rey Cooperative. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. Ennie Hickman is joining me, formerly of Adore, and now with Del Rey Ministries.
Or Del Rey.
Del Rey?
Well,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, so you're going to hear some music in the background. We are just sitting in the patio of Papadou Seafood Restaurant.
Papadou.
Papadou. Okay, Papadou.
Papadou. Papadou. That would be the right way to say it in
Papadou.
French. Papadou.
Yeah. Yeah, Papadou. Oh, that's right. It's Papadou.
Right, but Cajun, we say Papadou.
And are you Cajun?
Like, yeah, that's
because,
right.
Because I can kind of tell, because yeah. You're kind of like you're a gator person.
I like gators. When we duck hunt, we get in the water with gators.
Ennie, you're a weirdo on many levels.
Thanks.
Because you're a Catholic minister.
Right.
but you also are a layman, and a lot of people don't believe that lay people can be Catholic ministers, but you are.
I am very lay.
And you are a dad of seven kids.
Seven beautiful offspring. I love my wife.
You clearly love your wife, and your wife loves you enough
yes.
that she's bringing more little Hickmans into
right.
your life.
That's right. They're awesome.
And now you're starting something after a pretty difficult transition is what I would call
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. Transition was tough. Still going through it, I think. There's definitely something. My former employer, my former company, we founded in Houston in 2008 here.
Adore Ministries.
Yeah, so Adore Ministries was started. Yeah, it was started in Houma, Louisiana, by our good friend Paul George.
Yeah, I interviewed him too. He's a weirdo.
Well, that's intentional. You know that whole thing, intentional discipleship.
Yeah,
he discipled me, but he unintentionally did it.
All of Adore Ministries' focus was to create a sense of community, and also what.
At the heart of what Adore is a community of missionaries, lay missionaries called by their baptism mm-hmm. to mission in the world. It was a very broad group of people doing all sorts of things. But the main, in the last like 5 or 6 years, the main outreach has been to inner city parishes, under-resourced parishes that we do sacramental prep and all sorts of stuff.
But I mean, now you're kind of doing something new.
Yeah. So
tell me about that.
Well, it's actually not new. I mean, what we set out to do with Adore in Houston, outreach, if you will, is this thing called Family Dinner, which if you, you
wait,
know,
wait, are you crowding
yes,
in on
like
my town
actually
territory here?
Family
what
dinner.
What is going on?
Yes, of all course right. I am. Well, because, again.
It's not my thing. It's Jesus' thing.
This is when you know things are
so
movements,
basic.
Right? It's like, oh, wait, you're doing the same thing? Oh, that's my deal. No, it's not your deal. God
I'm
loves
only,
food.
I'm
all
the
right?
only cooking priest.
So, yeah, right. So, yeah. That's not true.
It kind of is, but I'm not the only priest who cooks.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm the only one who's actually turned it into a movement. But that's the reason why I have you on is because I want to remind people that you don't have to be a priest to do what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started this thing called Family Dinner at our house. It started once a week by just opening up our doors to our neighbors, not just our club, not just our Catholic people, not just our ministry people,
uh-huh.
but anybody and everybody, homosexual couples, anybody who wanted to come over to my backyard, no matter what your faith tradition or what your background was.
So how did you find these people?
They're your neighbors. They're your actual neighbors. All you have to do is get to know your neighbors, your neighbors. So I know you're joking, but that literally is the question I always
get.
Dude,
I live in a mixed income neighborhood.
Right.
And everyone has got a story, and they all come to my home for dinner.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You haven't lived until you've truly met your neighbors,
uh-huh.
you know? Anyway, yeah, so we started this thing.
Keep going.
It's been 11 years now, and weekly we've done this meal. From that, Adore started shooting off. We started worship nights, and we started these underserved parish missions and all sorts of things, speakers.
So when you say an underserved parish mission, is it just because you're a national, international speaker, and they couldn't afford you, and so you would just do it for
no.
A love
so we would actually so Adore would plant missionaries into these parishes to work as full time employees.
You're kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a minimal cost to the parish, way less than what you would pay because our missionaries were able to fundraise. And this is a model that basically came out of necessity. We were raising our salaries to be Adore missionaries, but we were just doing these open porch family dinner things.
Okay,
and not making ends meet. So a pastor approached me and said, hey, would you come over to our parish 2 days a week? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And this pastor over here would be like, hey, would you help us out with sacramental prep over here? Yeah, sure. Well, the more parishes that would reach out to me, I'm like, I can't do it anymore. So I found a couple of other crazy people who wanted to raise their own salaries. And that's
raising
how...
Raising your own salaries.
Yeah, that's
Let's
how...
Let's talk about
that's
that.
How because... Adore, that's how Adore got going.
Okay, and so you started this thing, and now you're doing something...
Yeah.
Not different, but it is
right.
a new name.
So it's kind of, it's a rewind to...
Tell me about Del Rey. Where did that come from?
Well, Del Rey, well, obviously means of the king.
Oh,
obviously.
You're hablandoing Espanol.
Oh, that is... Hablamos. Ahorita.
Okay, the only thing I can do is, yo quiero Taco Bell. I can do
We're
mass
good.
In Spanish. Now, but do you speak
yeah.
Spanish?
Por supuesto. My wife grew up in Guatemala. She was a Protestant... evangelical missionary family in Guatemala converting saving Catholics. Yeah.
Your family is really weird. And, they're beautiful.
Anyway, so yeah, so really so back to the question. Del Rey.
Yep.
We speak as much Spanish as possible to our kids and in our house. And then the name of the street where we started family dinner, that the name of the street is Del Rey. We're kind of going back to this idea of encouraging and empowering the everyday missionary disciple to simply do one thing, which is open your doors to.
You just named something that a lot of people have kind of overlooked. Missionary disciple. You've been doing that before the Holy Father Francis actually wrote about it in his encyclical.
Nah. There's a lot of people that have been doing that, right? Yeah. But I think Francis has given us a name.
And almost a permission.
Yeah, permission to do it. And say what you will about our Holy Father. I mean, even I, yeah, really? People do? There's not a single one of us who has studied church doctrine that isn't like clenching our buttholes when he gets on a microphone on the airplane. But what comes out is a beautiful mission and a beautiful retro view at what it means to be the church. For
and
years, we've been doing that.
You did study church doctrine. I mean, so you're not just doing this because you're volunteering and you're a nice guy.
No.
So I think what people need to know is, first of all, you have theology. You have a college education. You have formation.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize that in order for you to do what you're doing, you can't just do it because you're nice to people.
Yeah.
There's actually a system that you have to
use. And the theology, it doesn't make sense to, in my mind, it just doesn't make sense to simply believe something.
Sure.
Right? So I'm trying to live the theology I know and really not get overcomplicated into like learning more theology. So you're right in saying I know church doctrine.
Yeah.
I've studied some church doctrine, but let the record state, I am forgetting more doctrine than I'm learning, mainly because I want to focus on the things that I believe and actually act upon them. They should motivate us in our daily life, not just in our Twitter debates.
You remind me of someone who's taking corporal works of mercy seriously.
Yeah.
And when I say corporal works of mercy, we're talking about actual visible acts of charity towards other people. How do people take that? Because you do live a little bit of a radical life. I mean, in a way, everyone on Del Rey was like a little bit of a commune. Everyone just kind of hung out your house. I've been there before.
Sure.
You're just a bunch of like Catholic hippies who's like not going to put on any airs. You walk into your home and you're like, do you want a beer? And you say, yeah. And it's like, it's in the refrigerator. Go get it yourself and get me one while you're at it. But that's kind of like that off, it knocks you off guard.
Sure.
You just want to make people part of your home, part of
your family. Yeah, I think it's important. I look at the model that Jesus set, and I know this sounds so stupid and self-righteous, but the reality is, like, I do not get caught up in the trends of the newest product, like, oh, this thing is going to save your parish if you just subscribe to this deal, or if you listen to these talks and you're going to, like, I love the model that Jesus gave us from the beginning.
Yeah, but you and I have actually spoken on those parish programs and missions.
100%! And I'll take the paycheck!
I
am not going to be on the, just so you know, Ascension Press, I'm definitely still available.
Brought to you by
Ascension Press. Yeah. I think even they would say, though,
yep,
that it's not about a program, that the system and the model has already been set by our Lord, and we just need to kind of fit into that as best we can.
So if there's any kind of takeaway that I always try to get whenever I meet with people is that you've got the foundation, but there's so many complexities to making a building that we can sometimes forget the foundation.
Yeah.
And for you, the foundation is know your neighbor. Love your neighbor.
Love God, love people.
So how is that playing out now in Del Rey? Tell us a little bit about that, because this is new, but it's not new.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So really what we're trying to do is create a space for people online,
is
in person, face to face. A safe space, yes. It's got windows on the doors. Is it
a panic room?
Yeah, no. A safe zone.
Yes, exactly. I just want to make sure I'm not going to get
triggered
in there. When
everything goes, when the solar flare happens, it's a safe space.
And I kid about that, but like, people are easily triggered, and you're like, you're going to be triggered in my home, and you're okay.
Yeah. Not safe in the regard of like, let's huddle in. I love the Benedict option. I think that is an option. It's not the option, right?
Option, you're talking about the Pope Benedict.
The Rodrigo Benedict option is the book. The idea of preserving Catholic culture, preserving Christian culture in a monastery, a new monastic kind of movement where everybody huddles in and stays true to their faith and educates their own children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like moving out on the farm, becoming a commune. I prefer to look at Del Rey more as like a Francis option of saying, yes, we need community, and yes, we need ironing, sharpening iron, and we need to be a part of each other's lives, and the sacramental life is important, and all of those things that parishes can do for us. But we have to take it out. We have to move forward. And when I say Francis, I don't mean Pope Francis, I mean St. Francis. That he was a monastic, but he was also mendicant. He relied entirely on the providence of God.
He was an itinerant preacher.
He was an itinerant preacher. He slept and begged with the poor. He became poor for the poor, etc.
So are you a beggar for Del Rey now? Tell me about
that. So we are beggars for Del Rey, yeah. So yeah, so Del Rey, again, is a space where we want to encourage you and commission you and form you into being this lay missionary disciple in the everyday. So we're not confused that talks and programs or conferences or retreats are going to change the world, but that the church being the church in the everyday, in the ordinary, in the really mundane, boring stuff, mm-hmm. that's really where the church becomes a church, and that's where renewal happens.
Is
always
this any
from the
different
bottom.
From what you were doing with Adore? What's the difference?
The difference between us and Adore, I would say, the biggest difference is that you don't have to be a full-time missionary to mission.
Okay.
99.9% of us are not called to full-time ministry or mission, but we're all called to mission. We're all called to mission. And so what we're
Absolutely.
Trying to do is say, like, yo, if you're working in the medical field, if you're working construction, whatever it might be, you're not excluded from this mission. And you, in the ordinary and in the everyday, actually have a larger impact sometimes than people that are getting on stages.
No, that's exactly
you
right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
And when we come back, I'm going to get a little practical and even a little political, because it's hard to even welcome your neighbor if he is a Democrat or a Republican. So when we come back with a Shoot the Shiitake, we're going to get raw and real with Eni Hickman when we return in just a moment.
We hope you're enjoying this conversation, and if you want more premium content, including this week's very special conversation with two Dominican friars who work with the poor in San Francisco, they are inspiring and they are also incredibly honest in how they see themselves stretching themselves to love their neighbor. You can become a premium supporter by going to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. That's patreon.com at Father Leo Feeds, and get this deeper dish discussion with some Dominican friars who teach us how to be truly part of the kingdom.
And here we are with a deep dish discussion with Eni Hickman of Del Rey Mission Ministry?
Del Rey Collective.
Del Rey Collective. Is this clothes? Are we talking about? Because you are
there
truly
is
an icon of fashion.
Yeah, there
You've
is.
You've got a wife beater shirt on right now.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a beautifully white shirt, and he's got tattoos. And by the way, Eni does remind me of a cleaner cut version of Gator People.
I mean, because you're clean Gator People.
But I'm saying, like, right now, if you're in the water, you're going to get dirty.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
like, you're not in the water, so you look like the clean
version. You
get
sweaty in the water. I don't actually ever touch the water.
But see, what I
got to admit, I'm in Waders.
I don't know if that show's still going on, but I love that show. Because they were so authentic.
What's it called?
I just don't remember what it's called, but it was Gator People, something or other.
What was that called? Swamp People.
But I love that
show. Cool, look at that. That's a tree shaker.
That's right. But you remind me.
It's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, but you remind me of that, and what I loved about them is they're so authentic.
Yeah.
And they are, like, literally the most welcoming people you ever meet.
There was a study done on happiness. They went and interviewed a bunch of different people groups. And there were, like, some parameters of, like, how often you laugh versus how often you frown.
That's
right. All this stuff. Cajun people across the board.
Yep.
They are the happiest people in the United States.
And they happen to be incredibly Catholic, too.
Very Catholic.
And now let's
Very
get
Catholic.
To it, because this is what I sense in you,
yeah.
and this is maybe unique from a lot of ministries and programs. You're just trying to be radically, how shall I say, real. You're just trying to be radically a Catholic and just get to the foundation and welcome people. Tell me about the whole front porch ministry thing.
Yeah.
And how can people support you? So get
sure,
into that.
Yeah. Well, just really practically, I can just speak to it. If you go to DelreyCollective.com, there's a link that says Open Porch.
By the way, Ray is spelled R-E-Y.
R-E-Y, okay. Yeah. In case you don't habla español. open porch concept. It's very simple. Basically, what we're doing is encouraging you to love your neighbors by opening up your porch, your garage, your front porch, your front yard, your house, whatever it might be, to your neighbors to get to know them and to love them, because that's what Jesus said. He said to love our neighbors. So we're taking that very literally and saying that renewal and reform can come from a simple, hey, you want to come over for some barbecue. All of a sudden, your neighbor that thinks that Catholics are XYZ or Christians are XYZ, see, oh, wait, you're just like me. You're a person. And guess what happens as well? You begin to learn that people that we might not agree with in a traditional sense or a historical political sense, they're like us too.
Yeah.
And oftentimes a lot more open and a lot more chill than we make them out to be on the internet. So this is a way that we're doing that. So that's the open porch concept. But where it kind of came from was this idea that you said authenticity or realness,
just,
you know,
radical
real
reality. Yeah.
I don't know what it was within my conversion, but I just, you know, Kane and I both, I just had never been afraid to say that I'm a mess or that I'm a wreck. Like, I don't have a problem wrecking myself and saying like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did you think
I've heard your
that
talks.
Because
you say that
I got, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Gets me in trouble sometimes.
Imagine. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's one of the things is that because our neighbors may be broken in a certain way, we're afraid to welcome them. I want to get
or just afraid
practical.
To be real.
And afraid to be real with them, be broken
right.
with
just
them.
Just to be broken. You
so
know,
in Baltimore, there was the front stoop. Everyone lived in a row home and they would just gather in the front stoop. And that's how neighborhoods became loving neighborhoods. And now no one talks to each other.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, because we are in Texas right now, we're in Houston. We've got neighbors to the south, and I know you on Twitter, you will throw it out there and remind people, even the good Catholics, about immigration and such like that. Let me hear your thoughts on that.
I try not to get political in anything that
you
we do.
No, no, no. You remind people political world.
And I guess I'm prefacing that by just saying that I think it's a shame nowadays that if you stand for people one way or another, if you take a Catholic stance at something, people, capital punishment, for instance, this sort of idea that there are people who have repented on death row. Just from a Christian perspective, I don't care where you stand on it.
Sure.
You know, the hardened, like, tattooed swastika on his head, whatever the case may be. Okay, maybe a different story, maybe not. I'm looking at it through God's eyes. I'm going like, well, there's still people in there, and we should just love people. All of a sudden, you get thrown into this group of, oh, you must be.
That's right.
I'm just sort of prefacing that by saying, like, it's just a shame that nowadays, if you love immigrants, that you get labeled sort of a liberal progressive. And in the same regard, if I stand for life, if I stand for unborn life,
sure,
I am all of a sudden a wall builder, you know, or you know, I was like, wait a minute, hold on, now slow down. You know, like, I had this experience where a Catholic priest friend of mine came to my house, not you. You've been there.
Yep.
What did we eat? Did we eat duck?
We ate a bacon wrapped duck, and then I made some chicken, some sort.
Yeah. Anyway, priest friend of mine, he sees my recycling bin.
Oh my gosh, you're a tree
and
hugger.
And he goes, yeah, and he's like, dude, let me ask you a question.
You're going to vote for the new Green Deal.
He asked me if I voted for Hillary. He asked if I voted for Hillary.
See, and the whole thing is, you with trying to welcome your neighbor, how did you respond to that? I want to get practical.
And I'm a gun carrying.
You do carry
this
guns.
Kind of thing. So, anyway.
So, you're a weirdo in many ways because you don't fit into a particular stereotype.
Right.
And I think stereotypes is what keeps neighbors apart from each other.
Sure.
Give me some practical things you believe people can do. And then I want to get a little bit into some of the other ministry that you're involved in. What can people do practically to just be a real neighbor to each other?
Well, I think Mother Teresa would say evangelism starts with a smile. Quit being a grumpy grump every time you see somebody. Say hello. The worst thing that happens when you say hello, the worst thing that happens is that they go, wow, this person's like super happy and weird.
Okay, so just hearing that, I'm reflecting on the fact that one of my neighbors, maybe down the street, this girl and a kid, just literally threw their garbage right in front of me as I was coming back from a run. And I said, hey, you should pick that up.
This is what most people say.
And she said, shut the F up, you effing chink. Okay, maybe what I should have said was, hey, good morning. I see that you put that garbage there.
Right.
Is there a better place to put that? I mean, I need to maybe be less.
It doesn't mean you're not yourself, but your true self, right? Your true self, when you are following Jesus into this neighborhood where this person is obviously hurting, obviously has got some issues, obviously was not raised in a family like you were raised, obviously
that
all
is true.
XYZ. We know as a human person, they are wired for Christ. They're wired for him. They're wired for the fulfillment and satisfaction there. You and I, as the church, as the body, the mystical body, have to be him to her. So in that moment, maybe it's not that moment, maybe you get in an argument. Like the other night, this guy came over. He's like, your dog is always out. And it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, if he comes over to my house again, he's going to have a new owner. This is my Labrador Retriever. Speaking of hunting, he saves me like thousands of steps because he goes and retrieves the birds for me. He's like, if it happens again, he has a new owner. I'm like, you're going to take my dog? You're going to take my dog away if he gets out again. And he starts walking off. And I'm following him. And I'm just kind of talking. I want to be clear.
Sure.
And he goes and opens his car door. And he has my dog. My dog was with him. And he never called me. He never called me. I said, you have Duke now? When were you going to call me? And he's like, well, I said, sir, I think this is wrong. This is wrong. You can't just take my dog. Like, you can't. Maybe my dog's out. Call me. Don't take my dog home with you. He's like, well, he's a good boy and he should be better taken care of, blah, 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 whatever. Friday rolls, this is like Wednesday. Friday rolls around. That's when we open our porch. I have his number. I texted him. I said, hey, Randy, thanks again for bringing Duke home. I owe you a beer. I want you to know you're welcome anytime. He responded immediately, explained to me that his mom lives with him. She's got Alzheimer's and dementia and she can't even feed herself. He's a retired person. He's nonstop taking care of her. And he's like, I can't come over. So we know what I did?
You went over there.
I brought him a beer.
There you go.
I brought him a beer over there. So, and that's, again, it's not me patting myself on the back, but it's saying, okay, I might have differences with these neighbors, but I can't stop being Jesus to them and reaching out
and
saying.
Open porch ministry. Tell me how that plays out for people who want to get involved.
So if you want to get involved, obviously, I think most people.
You better get involved. People better get involved.
We have a number of ways that we want to interact with people who are at least interested in this concept. I don't want to sit here and say this is everybody's call.
Sure.
Everybody should do this in every neighborhood. I think that true transformation of culture could happen if every believing Christian, every believing Catholic did something like this on their porch.
Neighbor.
Like love your neighbor.
Sure.
Yes, just simple.
So
like,
how do they get involved?
Do this. So a couple of ways that we interact with you on Patreon.
Okay.
So we have a Patreon community that you join in, and it comes with just all these little interactions where we're going to give you formation. We're going to answer your questions. We're going to be in your life. We're going to set up Zoom calls where we one-on-one with you or two-on-two normally if you know my wife and I are involved. Together. We have a pilgrimage called Pilgrimage to Beauty. It's a chance, really kind of a retreat to get away with Kana and I so we can pour into you.
Your wife,
and give
Kana.
You, my wife is Kana. We go to Guatemala, Central America and visit Blessed Stan Rother's Place of Martyrdom, which is in Santiago La Laguna, which
it's
is on Lake Atitlan, the most amazing lake you've ever seen in your life. We go stay 6 days out there, and it's a little personal retreat for couples and individuals wired for adventure.
How many people can go at one time?
16. We have room for 16. I want to say there's probably like 10 left for the December.
Is there a private bathroom?
Yeah, so it's 5-star luxury amenities because Guatemala.
Sure.
It's just a little bit dangerous. It's not any more dangerous than your neighborhood in the United States.
Oh,
but
people get freaked out.
It's not Costa Rica.
About.
It's not Hawaii. It's
the
not,
reason
it
why
is,
I ask
it's just a little bit cheaper.
Because they are still neighbors too. And I think one of the things we've got to do in our world is just to get to know our neighbors to the south. And obviously, we're not talking about implementing policy.
Yeah.
We're just trying to be practical with that Jesus command, love your neighbor.
When we talk about our neighbors, I always give this example. Okay, imagine our budget. I talk to my kids like this. I got this certain amount of money that I'm making every month. And I spend 70% of that on defense of our house.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like I go buy guns, I build walls, I buy drones, I protect our house with 70% of our budget. And then I'm constantly accusing everybody around me of being the bad person. When I, in my own home, am not providing adequate health care for you, I'm not providing enough food for you to eat. My people, the people in my household, I'm not doing that. But now I want to build a wall to keep my neighbors even further out, right? It doesn't make sense to an 8-year-old. It doesn't make fiscal sense for America as well. To continue to build the military empire complex, losing lives. We've seen what war does to our young men in the military that are now just incapacitated.
Some of them are.
Some of them.
Yeah.
You know, some of them. Some of them are my great friends, and this is nothing against the military.
Yeah, yeah.
I have great friends, commanders
people,
in the military.
Well, people hear this, they might actually pigeonhole you, and all you're doing is saying, look, we have to figure out ways to take care of ourselves and even love our neighbors.
And love our neighbors. So I need doors on my house.
Sure.
I need locks
on my
house.
Do you lock your door?
I don't lock my door.
At all?
No.
Even when you leave?
No.
And Annie's home is available. Do you have anything worth stealing?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's always funny because on Twitter, people are like, oh, well, can I just come into your home and get a beer? And I'm like, yes.
See, now, like, now you're challenging people, though, to just be authentically. Again, this is the radical reality of the Christian message.
Yeah.
I mean, because even the Vatican has doors and walls. And
it's right. It's not to say that you don't have walls. It's that you're willing to open them to your neighbors. It's your willingness to say, do you have a need? Because I have resource. And if you really need something, I'm here. It's all yours. It's all for you. And it does a number on people. And
yes,
I think you're
right.
It shocks people because what it does is it totally disarms them.
That's right.
People say, aren't you afraid people are going to steal stuff out of your house? I'm like, what? When I'm cooking a meal for them.
Yeah.
Like I'm literally cooking a meal for them and I'm offering them a place to hang out and let their kids run and do all that. If somebody steals something from me in that moment, they're deranged. They have a mental disorder. In that case, I'll try to love them even more. But the majority of people, when they encounter that radical hospitality or radical love that Jesus provides us, they're totally disarmed and they don't want to fight anymore. So at our house, we've never really had an issue with the political debates or the apologetic debates and things like that because we have one simple rule. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah, there was a chef who basically said,
don't be a jerk.
Yeah, he's like, that was exactly the message that he gave to a graduating class. He goes, just don't be a douchebag. That's what
he said. Don't be a douchebag. I can think of another, I can think of a couple other words, you know, but like, but you know, be a human. This is a place to be a human. This is a place to be a person, man. Everybody's got their opinions. Everybody's got their traditional leanings and their political leanings and all those things, but that doesn't need to divide us as humans.
There is a way to do it. So let me ask you one last question here, Rennie, as we bring this to a close. What can I do to be a good priest for you?
Oh, man. Well, your prayers mean a ton.
Okay.
And as fellow itinerant folks who are out there, your thoughts mean a lot as well. Yeah, as a priest in Persona Christi, your offering of sacraments and staying close to those laity who are in your neighborhood, who are trying to do the thing. I think when our priests come over to our open porch who are in the neighborhood, it means the world to us because we really do want to develop that relationship with them as well. And I think that it might be a scary time for you as a priest to be intimate or to be open with people. I would echo the words of John Paul II and just say, do not be afraid. Like if you're being open, if you're hosting, if you're loving those around you, I don't think anybody's going to fault you. And if they do, it's like a sniper. It's like an assassin. It's a persecution right now. And yeah, keep praying for us and loving us. And this has been fun.
Awesome. Well, DelRayCollective.com is where you can find Enny Hickman and learn all about his crazy communal but totally awesome family. And then get yourself out to that pilgrimage site, that retreat with Blessed Stanley Rother.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. It is beautiful.
Yep.
And more importantly, love your neighbor. We'll be back in just a moment with my carryout order here on Shoot the Shiitake. And a welcome back for my carryout order. This is Father Leo here, just shooting the shiitake with Enny Hickman, who is always such a pleasure to just hang out with. First of all, I will say I like Enny for many, many reasons. One, because he's actually not that much taller than I am. I love it. I love it. I'm kidding with you. No, he is just such a great guy, full of so much energy, but also just so full of love of God that when I visit him, I visited him a couple times out in the Houston area, and he just has these open nights, and I was actually part of one of them where people literally just come out and hang out. I mean, it's not a party. It's a time to be family with your extended family. And he's been doing this for a long time with a ministry that he helped to found called Adore Ministries, but things change. I can't say anything more about it, but it was very difficult for him. So he had to make a move with him and his family, and he literally had to move because the home that he was staying in was part of the Adore Ministries complex. And so thank God that he had neighbors who cared about him because one neighbor actually offered their home to Enny and his really beautiful, just lovely, lovely family. Just absolutely just fun, loving family. If you just look at a family and be like, I kind of want to be their friend. That's the Hickmans. You just kind of want to hang out and be their friends. And they open their door to their neighbor. And you know what? Because of that, their neighbors helped another neighbor, the Hickmans, when they needed it to do something that they've been doing for a while, but in a new way, it's hard.
it really stretches us. But I'll be honest with you, I think that's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about stretching us so that we don't become little insulated. You know, you can live in the walls of a kingdom and never leave it, but that's a bad, bad thing. I mean, I have not watched Games of Thrones, but from what I understand, there were a group of people who lived within this wall and it insulated them from the rest of the world. And while, heck, it would be awesome to stay safe in your little cocoon and bubble, I think the kingdom of God is to be stretched out beyond our own borders, so to speak, which is why I wanted to have a conversation with him. He's very close to the immigrant groups that are coming through, whether legally or illegally, and we can have our opinions about that. But the one thing that Eni is really focused on is making sure that everyone is treated with the dignity that they deserve as children of God. The murky part comes when people take advantage and they break rules and they break laws. Some people will say, because Eni is so big on being open to our brothers and sisters in need at the border, there will be some people who would criticize him and say, well, why don't I just simply come into your own home? And I've seen him on his tweets. He says, come on over, the door's always open. And in a way, he sets himself up, but at the same time, he makes himself more like Christ. Now, there's always going to be a balance, and I believe that Eni has struck that. I believe that he has struck that balance between making sure he can protect his family and his things, his belongings, but at the same time, be open to people. If we can tap into that energy, I bet you that we'd have a more peaceful situation at the border, because it really does take a converted heart who obeys the laws to handle that situation well. So I'm not saying anything negative about the people at the border. In fact, I love them and support them, and I want to thank them for all of that. I just wish that everyone else involved would see compassion, that these people are truly our brothers and our sisters. This is a real simple interview. It couldn't get any more clear. Love your neighbor, but you have to know who your neighbors are. And yes, while we are all going to be very different, we do have that one thing in common, which is what I love. And this is probably the best carryout order ever. It's done not with words, but with actions. They literally open their homes and they invite people, their neighbors, no matter who they are, just to come and hang out. What we need to do is have a little bit more of that open door mentality. We kind of had that growing up as kids, to be honest with you. People from the neighborhood would always come over and just want to hang out. I think it's because my mom cooked so well, to be honest with you. Kicking them out of the house was another issue and another problem. But I think what we need to do is not only learn how to be good hosts, but also how to be good guests, because we are not in charge of God's kingdom. We are only pilgrims on a journey, and we are only citizens, not in charge, but we're just citizens of the kingdom of God, and so it requires us to act that way. There's a lot more that we can talk about in terms of what it means to be a good host and to be hospitable. We can also learn how to be good guests, because in a way, that's what we are in God's kingdom. So I want to thank Eni Hickman once again and Del Rey Cooperative. Learn more about them at delreycooperative.com. And I want to thank our sponsors, soulcore.com. They really do teach us how to exercise our body while at the same time exercising the soul. It's a twofer, ladies and gentlemen, and all of their information can be found at soulcore.com, and I want to thank them for their sponsorship and support of Shoot the Shiitake. And for all of you who are listening, please make sure that you share this episode and all of the episodes with your family, friends, and parishioners. Encourage them to subscribe on their favorite podcast platform. Please be sure to support us, if you can, with a donation of $10 or more each month, and every tier of donation gets you extra cool, awesome, and amazing stuff, including the possibility of having me come to your home with a team of my cooks and chefs, and we provide a feast for your soul. That's a glimpse of the kingdom of God. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.